best place for below average stars.
Hello there, and welcome to the Star Wars Show, the best place for below-average Star Wars. I am the Geordie Jedi Pete.
And I am Jason Hondo Ling.
And we're back with a brand new episode of Star Wars. We are continuing our Star Wars The Bad Batch Season 3, which is the final season episode reviews. Today we will be reviewing Episode 13 of Season 3, which is called Into the Breach, which did debut on April 17th, 2024 on Disney Plus, and it is available to stream now on Disney Plus, the same as all of the other previous Bad Batch episodes. But before we dive into the Bad Batch goodness, we've got a little sneak peek of a big event that is coming soon. That event is Forcechester. It is coming to the Jedi Archives store, which is in Dorchester, in Dorset. And to tell us more about it, obviously, Hondo Ling himself, Jason, is here, co-host of the show, but also going to be doing some things at this event. So let's just take it away, Jason. What can people... Well, I suppose I can't say too much, but when is this event going to take place and where? Let's go with that.
Right, we're looking at the 3rd and 4th of August. And as you rightly said, it's going to be taking place just outside of the Jedi Archive stores in a beautiful little venue called Brewery Square. And it's a lovely open air sort of venue. So we are praying for the weather, but we do have contingency plans in place. But basically, it came about that Ben and myself, Ben obviously owns and runs Jedi Archives, and living down in the south of the UK, there's not many Star Wars, purely Star Wars events that happen. So we were talking about it, and we said we got this beautiful area outside that we can use. Not only is the Jedi Archives store there, but it's a nice place with lots of restaurants, bistros, places like that, and some fun little stores. There's also a little escape room place which has got a space themed escape room, which they're hopefully going to be involved with the event as well. And just around the corner is the local Odeon cinema. So this whole venue is somewhere where people can come. And obviously Dorchester is a well-known town for tourists. So we thought, what better time and better place than to put something on? So we've contacted all of the costuming groups and the droid builders, and we're working with them to hopefully get as many as we can down there to do a two-day event. It's just going to really celebrate Star Wars. And we're going to be doing a few little fun things, which will hopefully release more information in the next few weeks. And Ben has got a lot of stuff planned. And the whole event, we wanted to do it as a charity fundraising event. And Ben previously has done some stuff for the MS Society. And the MS Society is something that I feel quite strongly about, because they helped a close relative of mine who sadly is no longer with us. So Ben and I decided that we were going to put the event on, run some fundraising stuff, and, you know, basically support this great charity. So we're full steam ahead with all the planning, and with the aim is that on May the 4th we will be able to give you some big news on what's going on, what the plans are, and basically whet your appetite and hopefully see you down in Dorset.
So we're seeing it is the first weekend of August
down
in Dorchester, in Dorset. So if you're in that area and you love Star Wars, certainly just ring mark that first weekend in August in your calendar. And, you know, it's in August, so anybody who's maybe a bit further out away from Dorset and you're looking for something Star Wars to do that first weekend of August, maybe ring fence it in your calendar and look to see how you can travel there. Obviously, we will be speaking about Force Chester and what events will be taking place at the event, involving the numerous costuming groups, and obviously Star Wars will have a presence there, and there'll be hopefully some live podcasts and things like that going on. But we can't go into too much detail just yet. But yes, very, very exciting times. First weekend of August in Dorchester at the Jedi Archive store in Brewery Square. It's going to be a wild time for the first ever Force Chester. Jason, are you ready to speak about some Bad Batch?
Oh, I am indeed.
So yes, we are here to review Into the Breach, episode 13 of season 3, which is the final season of Star Wars The Bad Batch. Again, like I said before, this did air on Disney Plus on April 17th. We are going to be talking about it in a lot of detail, deep dive reviewing the episode. So if you've not watched episode 13, Into the Breach, we recommend you probably pause this podcast now, go over to Disney Plus where the episode is available, stream it straight away, then come back and listen. Otherwise, we probably are going to spoil it for you because we're going to get sweaty talking about this one. So yes, episode 13, Into the Breach. He has a little rundown. So Omega, who's obviously now back on Mount Tantus in the hands of the Empire, is introduced to her fellow Project Necromancer test subjects. They are Ava, Jax, Sammy, and Bane. She tells them that she has escaped from Tantus before and plans to do so again using a passage behind their cell walls. The Bad Batch and Rampart, obviously last episode we saw these guys get back together, these rendezvous with Echo, and they manage to get a stolen Imperial shuttle, which they use to infiltrate an Imperial relay station on Coruscant to find the coordinates to Mount Tantus. This is essentially the only way to get a Tantus, is to get the coordinates given to you from this relay station on Coruscant. The coordinates aren't something that's given out to people or even transmitted. They're essentially transmitted directly to the nav computer. So that's the only way you can sort of find them. But basically, unable to extract the information from the station's databanks, Echo decides to sneak aboard a science shuttle bound for Tantus and disable its proximity sensors. This allows the others to dock on the vessel in the stolen shuttle just as it enters hyperspace. Let's just dive in, Jason. I suppose my first thoughts for this episode was it was quite intense in a good way. You know, I think the pacing was really good. There was a lot at stake, we felt, you know, getting this information to get to Tantus. It was almost like a race for the Bad Batch and Rampart. And then also, while sort of that was quite up-tempo and highly paced, we had sort of quite a tense nature at Mount Tantus with the way Omega was trying to figure out how she plans to escape again. So let's just first overall talk about your feelings about Omega and her situation in this episode.
Yeah, it's quite interesting to see. Obviously, Omega's now locked in the vault. She's not even just in amongst everyone on Tantus. She's now a proper research subject. And obviously, she, unlike the others, she's there and she's straight away. You can see she's plotting a way to get out. She's asking them all questions. When do they come to do this? When do they do that? And we're suddenly seeing the Omega that's grown through her experiences with the Bad Batch, you know, and although she obviously surrendered to Hemlock and, you know, basically allowed them to take her and other in order to save the rest of the Bad Batch, she knew when she was captured straight away that she'd find a way out of here. So yeah, it's quite seeing her interaction with the others as well. Obviously they're all very dejected. They've come to the conclusion that they're not getting out of here. So Omega's now offering them a bit of hope. And it's quite nice to see, you know, she's like, yeah, we can work this out. And then obviously they all start working together. While she's looking for this route to escape. So it's already, as soon as putting Omega in with the rest, they've upset the balance of this group. And now, you know, she's I think she's going to take on a leader role, which is something that I think is quite cool.
Yeah, that was, I mean, there was two takeaways I had for Omega in this situation. Was number one, how calming she is sort of with these youngsters, you know, with Ava, Jack, Sammy and Ben. I thought, you know, she was very calm and very confident, you know, don't worry, like, we will get out of here. I've done it before and I'll do it again. I'll take you guys with us. So it was quite confident from the from the leader Omega, which is what where she finds herself, you know. So I loved how she was able to sort of step into this situation, and because she's been with the Bad Batch and worked with them, like, she knows how to work as part of a team, and she's seen how a team is led by the likes of Hunter. So here she is sort of taking on the Hunter role, you know, and looking to lead these sort of not misfits, but, you know, you could say they almost all sort of misfits, similar to the same way the members of the Bad Batch are, you know. And like I said, I managed to breed them with confidence, which is good. I also loved how, you know, one thing the Bad Batch do is they don't do things simply, and they always sort of use what's around them to help. And again, you know, there's all these sort of games and puzzles that are there to occupy the prisoners of Project Necromancer. You know, they're designed to keep their brains moving, and, you know, Omega straightway is using what she's got, which is what the Bad Batch do so well, and just using different pieces of these different puzzles and games to sort of show, you know, use it as almost making a schematic model of where they are and how they're going to escape, which I thought was really cool. And then again, I loved how one thing I did love as well was how one of the test subjects did tell Omega that Dr. Carr is the nicest one. And then when Dr. Carr did come to take Omega's blood, I don't know what your thoughts were, but there's a moment where she sort of leaves a, there's like a tray that has sort of implements on it. Omega manages to steal one. It's almost like a mini scalpel type thing that she then uses to open the wall when no one's looking. Did you think that Dr. Carr maybe left that just out of eyesight on purpose to give Omega an opening, or was it a pure accident?
I think it was probably an accident, because although Dr. Carr is obviously very much supportive of the youngsters, I don't think she would out and out help them. So I'm not sure, but it could be. And I do think Dr. Carr's going to be the one that we're going to see her. Obviously, she's not necessarily comfortable with what's going on, and I think she's going to be a part of what happens with Omega in the next two episodes, which I can't believe we've only got two episodes to go.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think Dr. Carr is going to be given a dilemma where she's either going to be there when they're about to escape, or there after they've escaped. She's going to witness it happen, and she's going to have a call to make to either like let them go and delay her reaction, or to like stop them or call the Empire straight away. And I think she'll side with Omega and the fellow Project Necromancer test subjects, but I'm not 100% sure of that, but I'm sort of sure. So, you know, who knows what will happen, I suppose. But it's very exciting times. But yeah, I just love how Omega's found herself in this situation, which is full of confidence. She's breeding confidence in our fellow test subjects. She's being the leader that they need, and being positive, and I said using all of the elements of the surroundings to themselves. What did you make of when she looked in the wall and it sort of showed you just how down in the mountain they are?
Yeah, it was quite a interesting reveal, and obviously seeing that they've got quite a challenge to get out of there. But then again, I think that was always part of the plan. It was never going to be easy for them to escape. So you sort of had to realise that Omega was going to have more than a challenge to go. But it'll be interesting to see how she does get out.
It is indeed. It is indeed. I'm looking forward to that. The other part of the episode is obviously the Bad Batch and Rampart. So yeah, straight away, you know, we meet the Bad Batch and Rampart, where, you know, the sort of, I wouldn't say arguing, but the out of disagreement of how they're going to get to Tantus, and sort of Rampart gives them some information about that. You know, the only way you can get the information is this way, and it's sort of suicide. And the Bad Batch are like, well, let's go to Coruscant, let's do this. And Rampart finds himself having to tag along. So just talk us through your thoughts on the Bad Batch and Rampart and sort of and the interactions from these guys.
I love what they've done with the character of Rampart and the way that he's interacting with the Bad Batch and the way they're interacting with him. Obviously, part of me is kind of reminded going back to Rebels when Kallus obviously defected and joined the Rebels. And obviously Rampart hasn't really defected. He's using the Bad Batch to escape. But at the same time, they're getting this relationship building as they're going along. And I think one of the funniest things has got to be when they hand him the Imperial uniform. And he goes, I can't wear this. This is a captain's uniform. I was a vice admiral. And Echo straight away says, consider yourself demoted. All of a sudden, Rampart's sort of, at this point, Rampart's out of his depth. You know, he's very much reliant on the Bad Batch. But then as the episode goes on and we see him interacting with the Imperials, and he clearly enjoys being an Imperial again and is very quick to fall into his old ways of the way he talks to the Imperials and that. And then I think probably one of my favourite lines from the episode is I'm trying to think at what point it comes, but Rampart suddenly becomes C-3PO and says, we're all going to die. And it just straight away, it was like Rampart's being turned into the humour side of the episode. And I really enjoyed that. And I found it enjoyable throughout the episode.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things, you know, where if you look at Omega and her situation, you know, it's quite serious. And, you know, she needs to be on point. And the same with the Bad Batch, you know, they're quite desperate. You know, they need to get this information to get Atlantis, to get Omega. That's the only thing they want to do. It's their only sort of desire. It's their only motivation. So Rampart's here, you know, where he, you know, yes, he wants to survive and escape. But, you know, getting to Mount Tantus isn't really his priority. So, you know, using him as a vessel for the comedy, I thought was genius. I also loved how it showed just how sort of the Empire's own ego works against them. You know, like when he's speaking to that officer who's less than a captain and he sort of says, you know, I'm a captain. You'll do as I say. We're here for this reason. And the officer just has to sort of get on board with it. But the officer has good feelings, probably right. So again, if he just went with his good feel instead of falling into rank, you know, the Bad Batch might not be on the way to Tantus. And like I said, it's because they hold these ranks in such an egotistical way that they've sort of hindered themselves almost, is what I found. What did you make of, I suppose, you know, the go there to try and steal the coordinates of Tantus? They then find out that the coordinates are only sort of sent to a ship's navigational computer as and when they need it. And that changes the plan quite dramatically on its tail. What was your sort of thoughts about that?
Yeah, it's the way they change the plan is very much the Bad Batch way, which obviously for an Imperial, because they love plans, Rampart's pure panic was classic. Obviously, Echo is perfectly placed to carry out this plan. And it's great to see him back in position and is a vital part to the Bad Batch. It's quite interesting now that it feels almost complete with the Bad Batch, having him back in the action. Obviously, the one that's missing is Tech. That is the one thing. But they're still all working as their team. And obviously, you know, the way they adapt, classic, was with Wrecker when the Imperial came on board the ship and said there's a problem with the code. And Wrecker was as calm as anything, but you knew that Imperial was about to get bashed over the head. But it was, and I like the way at the end of the episode when they're about to leave the ship or leave the base and go and attach to the ship that's leaving, Wrecker casually carries the Imperial and dumps him in the docking yard sort of thing. But yeah, the Bad Batch, it's their adaptability that makes them what they are, which is what is vital against the Imperials.
Definitely. And I think sometimes we've seen in previous seasons, you know, Wrecker or somebody will make like a slight mistake or be too noisy and it'll lead to like some trouble that they then get out of. But I like how here this plan just goes by so meticulously fine. You know, Wrecker here, you know, he's on point, they're all on point, and it's like, because they know what's at stake, like no mistake can be made, otherwise we'll be rumbled here. Like this has to go perfectly, otherwise like we won't get to Mount Antus. The Game of Hunters response, you know, when they send Echo on board the science station, and you know it's like touch and go. Like, what was your thoughts on Echo and his part of this episode, and also his part of getting the stolen Imperial shuttle to dock on the science vessel just in time?
Yeah, Echo is, you know, when you consider the whole thing with the Bad Batch, is they're all supposed to be, you know, broken clones, so to speak. And obviously, Echo's the ultimate broken clone because of what happened to him and the way he works. You know, he's got a determination to make sure that they achieve their end goal. And obviously, you know, you've got Rampart constantly going, are you sure you can do this? Are you sure you can do this? And there's confidence with all of the Bad Batch that I have to say, I think it's the first time that they have been so confident and so determined that I don't think one of them looks like they think they're going to fail. They're all determined that this mission's going to work and they're going to do what they need to do to get to Tantis and to rescue Omega.
Definitely. And I think part of that comes from having Crosshair back with them. You know, I feel that, you know, I mean, I know Tech's not here, but Tech can't be there because he's gone, if that makes sense. Where I feel,
yeah,
especially if you look at season two and stuff, I think, you know, with them not having Crosshair and that being because of Crosshair's choice, not because he can't be there, but because he's chosen not to be there. You know, I think that caused them some issues where I think now everybody who can be there is, and they're sort of the cooking on all gas here, all cylinders are going. And like I said, we get the Bad Batch at their best. And I just loved how Hunter knows, he's like, we're here. That's gonna what's it called? I've totally lost track of my mind. The proximity sensors are gonna go off. I'm gonna be able to dock and we're gonna go at light speed. And it is touch and go. I almost thought when the proximity sensors went off that like they're not gonna dock in time, and it's like the science cells are gonna go into hyperspace and they're gonna be stuck here. And then all of a sudden the Venator class Star Destroyers are gonna come and just destroy them. But so that was good sort of direction by the creators there to sort of give us that little jump in our heart almost in that moment as viewers. But the dock just in time and they shoot off into hyperspace. And we know that we are going to Tantus and we're going to get some awesome adventures at Tantus. I think, is there anything about the episode that we haven't mentioned that you want to cover, Jason?
I don't think so. I think it seems a bit strange because we're only talking about one episode. But, you know, as a whole, I found this episode really fast paced, but at the same time so much was going on that I really enjoyed it. This was probably one of my favorite episodes so far, actually.
Yeah, it was. And I feel the past few episodes have all sort of all led into each other really well, so like this one follows on really well from Juggernaut,
yeah,
you know, and really well from Point of No Return, and really well from Identity Crisis. You know, I think the show itself is cooking on all cylinders, similar to what the Bad Batch are themselves within the show. I suppose next, you know, the science vessel is going to come out of hyperspace at Tantus. What do you think the Bad Batch's approach is going to be? Obviously, you know, as soon as they come out of hyperspace, Bad Batch probably need to detach and fly off to maybe the other side of the planet and land somewhere on the outside, or do you think they'll go ahead and just dock straight out Mount Tantus Imperial Base?
Not sure. I would have thought, knowing the Bad Batch, they're going to go in stealth-like somehow. Obviously, they've got to get Echo off of the ship and back with them. So, yeah, it could be... could go one or two ways, really. Either they break away and then find their way back to Echo, or they stay docked and hang out with the Imperials.
We will find out, I suppose. My question is, I wonder whether, you know, obviously they're trying to break in while Omega's trying to break out, and like, are these guys going to meet in the middle, maybe?
Yeah, probably.
And I think, you know, I suppose before we move on this point, I did love seeing Coruscant from space again. You know, we've seen it before in this season, but obviously it's very prequel-esque, you know, and we're just, you know, obviously the Phantom Menace is coming back to theatres for its 25th anniversary, yeah. You know, on May 3rd, which is the first time we ever saw a live-action Coruscant, which led to animated Coruscant, I suppose. So I was very excited to see Coruscant again. I don't know about you.
Yeah, no, Coruscant is, you know, obviously a favourite of everyone's, and seeing it back in the action. Obviously, the Bad Batch sort of avoid Coruscant because of the fact that it is such a Imperial stronghold. But obviously, necessity meant that they had to go back there. I love anything that harkens back to the prequels.
No, definitely. And one thing I also love was we see Mount Tantus a bit up close in this episode, where you see like the second peak, and that looks like it's a base as well. So like, I wonder just how big is this Tantus Imperial installation, and just how many other experiments are going on, maybe with different doctors, not just Hemlock.
Yeah, you know, is this whole place just one massive, you know, experiment? Is whether we'll find out in this series or whether there's more to come, who knows?
Because I think for me, especially what's relevant in Star Wars Rebels, is that the Empire don't put sort of all the eggs in one basket. So, you know, the building the Star Destroyer, the Death Star, the working on Thrawn's TIE Defender program, you know, they're working on different things. So, like, maybe there's more than one mad scientist in the galaxy. Obviously, Hemlock's one of them, who's very mad and menacing. But who's to say that I haven't got other crazy mad scientists as well working on different projects?
Definitely. Going back to the Clone Wars, I'm trying to remember the mad scientist that they came across there. Maybe he's found his way home. Someone like him is holed up there with Hemlock.
Quite possibly. And I think, you know, when you look at, I mean, like, take the Zeta Beast, you know, we know that they were doing experiments with the Zeta Beast, the Republic under Palpatine, and that would have continued in the Imperial era as well. So I think you could do a whole series just on, like a horror series on, like, on the evil of Tantus almost. That would be quite cool.
Yeah, it'd have to be written by someone like Cavan Scott, I think.
Yes, definitely. I can imagine it being like some sort of Dark Horse comic book by like Mike Mignola, the guy who does the Hellboy art. I could imagine like that being like a really cool comic book based on it, but I suppose we will see. We've got two episodes left. We've got Flash Strike, which is the second last episode, the penultimate episode that airs on April 24th. And then we've got The Cavalry Has Arrived, the series finale, on May the 1st. I think Flash Strike says to me, you know, Flash Strike's like a military deployment. So, you know, we're going to see the Bad Batch breaking into Tantus to get to Omega and sort of how that goes. And I also think that while that's happening, they're probably going to comms out from Tantus to Rex. And once they do that, then Rex and that will get the actual coordinates. And that's what I think the cavalry has arrived is about. I think it'll be a case of like Rex and his team will turn up to sort of get the Bad Batch and Omega off world, hopefully. I don't know what your thoughts and hopes are for Flash Strike and for the cavalry has arrived, but go ahead and take it away, Jason.
Yeah, I think, you know, this is going to be two episodes of, obviously, one would hope it's going to be a resolution to the story. Although I can't see that we can resolve the whole thing, which makes me wonder, you know, could there be another animated series that's coming that's going to look at, you know, what's been going on with Project Necromancer? But this whole thing is, you know, it sounds like a massive military action is going to happen to get Omega out of here. Obviously, Fast Strike would make you think that they're going to go in quick to get her out. And the bit about the cavalry, obviously, that was the cry that the Bad Batch used, I believe, right at the beginning of the series. It was the cavalry have arrived. So it'd be interesting, does this relate to the Bad Batch or does this relate to others that come to their aid at the end of the series? Who knows? But I'm looking forward to going on the adventure of these last two episodes.
Me too. I'm very excited, and I think like the excitement level's hit a new level with the way they've sort of paced the previous few episodes. And sort of in what's happened, you know, getting Rampart back, going to Coruscant, and then now finally being able to get to Tantus. I think it's the fact they go through a lot to get to this point, and there's still sort of the final adventure of Tantus ahead, and it's very, very exciting. I suppose, you know, Star Wars is tragedy, as we know from watching and reading a lot of Star Wars. And, you know, while I think the Bad Batch will be successful and Omega will be rescued to some extent, you know, it's not going to be without a big cost. Who's going to die? Just, I know we asked this last week, but if you had to pick two members of the Bad Batch who you think are going to not make it out, who would you pick?
I've got a feeling Hunter could be a tragic character. And I have a feeling, I think it'd break hearts if they killed Wrecker, so I think they'd probably go for Crosshair.
Yeah, I think, you know, Hunter would be absolutely tragic, especially how he's held on for so long to keep this team together, you know, and you know, keep Omega out there, each of the Empire, then when they've failed in that, they've always got her back, and then, you know, we'll see what happens here. And then I think the Crosshair, you know, he's been a prisoner of war, essentially, is what happened to him when he was on Tantus, and you know, he's lived through so much to be able to escape that and, you know, get back with his brothers and become a part of the team again. It's like a big, big deal and a big thing for him. And, you know, I think maybe, you know, if he dies as well, that's going to really, really pull on the tragic heartstrings there. What do you think happens to Tantus? Do you think we're going to see Tantus like blow up like the Death Star or like Starkiller Base? You know, or like the droid control ship in the Phantom Menace? Or do you think it's just going to be a smash and grab? You know, the characters will all escape, but Mount Tantus will still be here to serve the Empire's needs.
I think Tantus is going to survive because I think there's more to the story to be told. That's my personal feeling on this one. Whether it'll be in animated or it could just be in novelizations and that, but I think Tantus is the key as to how the Emperor somehow returns, and I think that's going to be something that is going to be explored further after this series has finished.
Yeah, and I think something else to think about was that, you know, Omega said that she wants to go back and free all the clones that are there. Do you think?
Yeah.
Do you think that will happen? Do you think all the clones will escape?
I think because that is their mission, so to speak. I think they will get the clones out of there. And I think that's possibly what's going to be in the final episode, which is what makes me think that then Tantiss is going to be left still operational.
And I suppose, when we talk about clones, we cannot forget that the clone commandos are also clones. And although so far this series they've been very much following Hemlock's and the Empire's orders, do you think there's a moment here in the finale where the clone commandos realize they need to help their brothers as well and they turn to the light? Or do you think they stay dark?
I think they'll probably stay dark. I think that's their conditioning and their programming, so to speak.
Interesting. I sort of hope they turn. I love for them to realize that actually, yeah, like there's a chip in my head, and that's why. Like, so I'm actually going to help these other clones get off Tantiss and get off the planet. But only time will tell, I suppose. Any other hot takes or thoughts about the future of the Bad Batch you want to get off your chest?
No, I'm just looking forward to seeing what they've got in store for us. I think there's going to be a few surprises along the way. And I'm intrigued to see where animated Star Wars is going to go after this.
Yeah, because obviously, Bad Batch will finish on May the 1st. We know that on May the 4th, we will have the six episodes of Tales of the Empire will be dropping. But then, other than that, there's sort of no other animated shows announced. We have been told that Asajj Ventress will be getting some of her story told in the future. So I imagine that will be animated, maybe. But who knows if it'll be like a straight up animated Asajj Ventress show. Or would it just be an animated show that deals with some of Asajj's journey? I'm not quite sure. Do you think the next animated series could be centered around Asajj Ventress?
It could be. I think her return isn't inconsequential. I think there's a reason that they've brought her back. So it would make sense for that to happen. Because I don't think they would have just gone, right, let's have a bit of fun. Let's bring back Asajj Ventress to be the one that identifies that Omega's got this force power. So I think no, there's a plan afoot somewhere along the line. We could even see maybe once they've rescued Omega, she could end up joining on becoming Asajj's apprentice.
Yeah, I was going to ask, do you think we'll see Omega use the Force in these next two episodes?
Possibly. It wouldn't surprise me if that happens.
I'm just thinking, if we see, if one of the test subjects, Ava, Jax, Sammy, or Bane, is like in peril, I could see Omega maybe using the Force to save them, like just through sheer emotion, rather than
Yeah, I
skipping,
think
if that makes
that
sense.
yeah, I think that could be a possibility, and it would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, could indeed, could indeed. I don't think I've got anything else I really want to mention about Into the Breach. And if you haven't, we can move on, I think, Jason.
Yeah, no, definitely.
So yeah,
I think we've covered it.
I think we have. So there's two episodes left. That is Flash Strike on April 24th, which is the penultimate episode, and then the finale. The Cavalry has arrived on May the 1st. Very, very exciting times, and stay tuned to Star Wars. We will be bringing you deep dive reviews of those episodes as they come out. Let's talk about what else is going on in Star Wars, I suppose, Jason, as we wrap things up. Have you been making any purchases lately or pre-order any Star Wars merch or got your eyes on anything in particular that you're after?
I haven't made any purchases. I have had a little parcel arrive from Jedi News today. And Roosevelt's have kindly supplied me with a really nice short sleeve shirt. And it's the Force and the Phantom from their range. I've been look I think I mentioned it last episode that I was looking forward to getting it. And it turned up today and it is beautiful. Obviously, my daughter is a huge Darth Maul fan, so I'm going to have to hide this from her for a while, I think, because, or I think I'm going to have to purchase one for her, because it is, it's Darth Maul, it's got the Sith infiltrator ship all over it, it's got Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon Jinn, and obviously it just is a really, really nice shirt. So I'm looking forward to having an excuse to wear that and show that off.
No, certainly it does look really, really cool, and people should definitely check that shirt out and the collection out as well. Not just shirts, but also, you know, baseball caps and the like. Looks really, really cool. I've been opening
up Star
Wars. Oh, go ahead.
I have to say, the baseball caps, I've now got two of them, and I'm not a fan of baseball caps usually, but these two are so comfortable to wear and just, yeah. And the fact that it shows off my love of Star Wars, and also the flannel shirts, they're absolutely amazing. I can't sing the praises of these.
No, awesome stuff. I've been opening some more Star Wars Unlimited, which is the new trading card game from Fantasy Flight Games. And you can see me unboxing those as I go on the Star Wars TikTok. So just go to @StarWarsPodcast on TikTok and you can see me having fun unboxing those cards. But the cards are really awesome. Nice wide variety. Haven't played a game yet with them, but I'm hoping to get down to our local store in Newcastle, where there is games happening every Monday, I believe. So I've been told I'm going to try and get to those in the future and try that out.
Yeah.
Other than that...
I'll just add, anyone in the South, Jedi Archives every Wednesday and Thursday night. The Unlimited gaming nights are proving more and more popular. It's really great to see people embrace it.
It certainly is. Jason, any last messages for the listeners?
Just keep on enjoying Star Wars. Obviously, looking forward to teasing you more with revelations of what's happening in August. And hopefully, May the 4th, we'll be able to get Ben on board for a chat and explain exactly what we're cooking up.
Indeed. Where can the people find you on social media?
At Hondoling, as always.
And you're now on TikTok, is that right?
I am. I'm bracing myself for TikTok. In fact, I'm hoping to maybe put some stuff up in the next couple of days.
Well, hey, you can find me on social media. That is on X, formerly known as Twitter. And on Instagram @JordyJediPete. You can find the podcast on X, formerly known as Twitter, @BoarsStar. You can also find the podcast on TikTok, Instagram, LinkedIn, @StarBoarsPodcast. Thank you very much for listening, everybody. May the force be with you all. And remember, always tell that to Kanja Club.
The Dorky Diva Show presents...
Why is this seat so much more comfortable?
The long-awaited sequel to the adventures of the Zolandart audio drama.
Have you seen the captain's datapad?
Trying to work, Murph.
Piloting the Zolandart by himself.
You do understand the details of this particular job, correct?
I've been on plenty of jobs like this. With you!
Reldar Saias returns to a planet he thought he'd left behind for good.
Is there a reason you didn't mention I was tagging along?
Hopefully having you there will make others think twice about messing with me.
Making new friends.
Oh, you must be the pilot of the Zolandart, yes?
I guess I am.
And reconnecting with old ones.
Reldar?
Vera?
What are you doing here?
Until past grudges resurface.
I'd be minding my own business if I were you.
Well, if your business wasn't being handled right in front of my face, maybe I could mind my own business. We have to leave. Now.
Why the rush all of a sudden?
We're in trouble.
If it isn't Little Reldar Scythe.
Hey, Yorick. Long time no see.
Roz already knows you're here.
Oh.
Look who decided to come home.
Reldar must confront his origin.
I must admit, I never saw this as being a part of your past, Softshell.
Or let it define his future.
I will get what is owed to me, no matter the cost.
Because what Roz is trying to do is wrong.
Says you.
My blasters. We're going to need these. Take that, Sleevo.
Who do you think you are?
The Adventures of the Zolan Dart, Episode 2, coming soon.